There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1048, Tracy Tudor, host of Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles and author of the new book, Fear is Just a Four-Letter Word.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life. Welcome to So Money.
I remember being, you know, a junior in the business and coming into it at the age of like 23, 24 years old, thinking, well, I'm connected. I live in LA. I know a ton of rich people. This is going to be a breeze for me. And, you know, that was a rude awakening and, you know, a little naivete and also a gigantic ego at the age of 24, you know, I was smacked in the face with the reality that, you know, people don't trust their greatest asset with someone, you know, that isn't skilled.
It's real estate week on So Money. Wasn't planning on it, but if you listened to the show on Monday, in case you missed it, that was real estate guru Elise Glink giving us all of the behind the scenes of what's happening on the real estate market. If you're following me on YouTube, just posted a fresh video on whether or not it's a smart time to buy a house. Now, we did this. We bought a house, so I guess I'm a little biased, but the video really walks you through the checklist of things that you really want to have figured out before you strike it, especially in today's market. And no one knows the market better than my guest today, Tracy Tudor. You may have recognized her from the Bravo show, Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles. She is the only female broker on that show. Gotta love that. She is a mother, entrepreneur, and has 15 years of experience as a real estate agent in the Los Angeles area. She's here to share some insights on the real estate market, at least on the West Coast, as well as insights from her new book, Fear is Just a Four Letter Word, How to Develop the Unstoppable Confidence to Own Any Room. She talks about her beginnings as a real estate agent, the failures, as well as a recent success that required some interesting engineering on her part. Here's Tracy Tudor. Tracy Tudor, welcome to So Money.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
First question, I'm asking all my guests this. You're out in LA, you work in real estate, you're a mom, you're an entrepreneur. How are you doing? How are you holding up? How is COVID impacting or not impacting all aspects of life?
Oh, God. You know, I feel like we are beginning to, you know, see a little bit of recovery. You know, the last, call it 50 days, I think we are at this point, have been challenging. But, you know, I'm grateful to be in Los Angeles. We have had incredible weather. So to be able to be outside a little bit in my backyard and take a walk and not be, you know, knock on wood in New York City, where, you know, I feel for everybody on the East Coast being in a city like that and having not as much access to, you know, a backyard. So that piece has been good, but I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's day to day. You know, yesterday was not great. And, you know, today I woke up with a new attitude and I'm just trying to stay busy.
Speaking of staying busy, your job as one of the city's top real estate brokers, how are prices doing out there? Are you seeing pricing pressure? It's hard to predict, right? Because interest rates going down, maybe that's going to spur demand, but sellers don't really want to sell right now. So that's maybe not a good time. So that's not really giving you a lot of options as a buyer. But what are you seeing in terms of supply, demand, and pricing?
Well, you know, obviously it's a little bit all over the place. We haven't in Los Angeles been able legally to show property, and we've been following Governor Newsom's restrictions as far as that goes. And that has limited us greatly as far as how much business you can really do. Now, you know, in the first part of the pandemic, and call it the first 30 days, you know, we were seeing closings still happening. I think there's been a little bit of a drop off there. But I will say this, there have been more buyers in the market because obviously they feel that there might be buying power, you know, for the next foreseeable 6 months, particularly with a developer. So all the new construction and development that's happening in LA, I would say up to a certain price point, the under $10 million mark, we're seeing buyers you know, wanting to invest and wanting to get the best deal they possibly can. I was analyzing the high end the other day and we're seeing 20% discounts. Now, we were seeing 20% discounts before the pandemic or 15% discounts on some of the big high end north of $100 million properties. We've had in the last 3 months in, you know, our high end markets like Bel Air, Beverly Hills, the Hollywood Hills, Brentwood, Palisades, and Santa Monica, about five sales north of 20 million. Now, that's not bad for the past 3 months. Obviously, most recently, there was a $36.5 million sale in Holmby Hills to Kylie Jenner. Clearly, she is not suffering from the pandemic.
Not much.
So it'll be interesting to see where the high end goes. I'm doing most of my showings right now north of 20 million, and then I'm seeing some buyers come into the market and wanting to see what the developers that do, you know, that are holding multiple properties at a time, you know, in that sort of $5 to $10 million price point. And, you know, people are just putting pen to paper and seeing what sticks. And they should be. And in my opinion, you know, people should be getting out there right now. We're going into an election year. I was talking with Flag about this the other day when we did a little cooking segment live. My co-star on the show, Million Dollar Listing. And, you know, we both agreed that, you know, there is uncertainty. And if you are a seller, I do anticipate in the next, you know, the next 6 months, sort of the backlash of COVID and this pandemic and our economy figuring out how we're going to recover, which of course is, you know, affects our real estate market. So if I was going to list my house right now, with inventory being down a little bit, and I had something special, I would put it on the market immediately.
I love the Million Dollar Listing Show. I love it in New York. I love it in Los Angeles. I always wonder how.
Do you like it more in New York?
I will say it's equal love. It's different love, you know, because in Los Angeles, you really get the wow space, right? You get these like mansions. New York, you got to get really creative with your vertical living.
Yeah, and so it's a little more real estate porn. Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with real estate. We just actually bought in this market. We bought a home. That's a whole other story. But my listeners know I'm a big real estate fan. I like talking about real estate, learning about it, and watching your show. I wonder, what do you have to do to get to the point where people who have $20 million homes say, I want you to be my broker? And maybe this is now taking pages out of your book, Fear is Just a Four-Letter Word, but would love to hear from you about how you did it. You know, maybe this isn't everybody's recipe, but I am sure there are a lot of lessons learned, how you got to the point where you now, everything is through referral. People want you. You're known as that person who's going to make the deal. But to get there, how'd you have to do it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say we never stop marketing and promoting ourselves. I mean, we're in sales. So you have to remember there's always going to be another slew of younger, aggressive people coming up the line in the business, and we have to stay on our toes. You know, there is a seniority in our business, just like anything else. And, you know, after 20 years and working my ass off, I obviously have, you know, developed a really great network of not only brokers, but clients that trust me and refer me business. That being said, you know, you are taking a little bit of a page out of my book, and it does take time. You don't walk into something like this business working on a commission base only and, you know, come out of the gates. And in the first 3 years, you know, you're killing it. Now, having the connections and the network built in is a big part of it. But I remember being, you know, a junior in the business and coming into it at the age of like 23, 24 years old and thinking, well, I'm connected. I live in LA. I know a ton of rich people. This is going to be a breeze for me. And, you know, that was a rude awakening and, you know, a little naivete and also a gigantic ego at the age of 24. You know, I was smacked in the face with the reality that, you know, people don't trust their greatest asset with someone, you know, that isn't skilled. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, you have to know your job. You have to have that experience under your belt on some level. And, you know, then what comes after it is grit and, you know, the ability to sell. I mean, you either have that skill or you don't. And you should know it, you know, if you're getting into this business. And if you don't have that skill, but you have, you know, maybe you're not an extrovert or, you know, out there networking like me every other day. I know where my weaknesses are. So, you know, that's why I brought in a partner when my business started getting, you know, too big for me to handle on my own. And, you know, this is a, you know, I'm speaking about my partner, Gina Dickerson, who, you know, graduated from Columbia with a finance degree, is a lot more about back end and really understanding the systems that you have to put in place. And I'm really the person out there feeding the pipeline and getting the business. And you have to know, you know, what your strengths and weaknesses are and play off of that. But you got to have that grit because this isn't a business for the weak. And there's a lot of sharks out there, particularly in Los Angeles, New York, and all the major markets. And if you can't compete at that level, you're going to get crushed in an economy and a real estate market like this.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at your show as an example, although this is, you know, dramatized a bit, but there are a lot of big personalities in the real estate industry, especially when you're talking about big deals, multi-million-dollar homes. I know you said that you have to have it. If you don't have that big personality, how do you stay toe-to-toe with some of these people? Does that necessarily disqualify you, or can you still be yourself,
No. Even
if you're a quieter self?
Yeah, I mean, don't misunderstand me. When I say have it or, you know, be the extrovert, I really mean more, you know, obviously we're on a TV show and so we all have big personalities, but I think having it and having the skill set to sell is something that is, you know, has been with me since I was a kid. I liked the art of, you know, I wanted to be a judge because I wanted to tell people what the right answer was. You know what I mean? So you have the ability to, you have to have the ability to sell. And that is just innate. If you don't have that ability, whether you're, you know, more of an introvert and a hard worker and, you know, someone like Gina, you know, she still has the ability to sell. She has it. But where she shines and her strongest skill set is going to be in contracts and contract negotiations and the back end legal piece of how to write a contract correctly. Where my skill set and where I shine is out in the field and being able to pick up clients. And, you know, that is a big piece of our business. If we're not fulfilling that pipeline, you know, always. And then, you know, having the ability to close is, you're never going to make it in this business. You know, there's a ton of real estate agents out there. And the reason that there is because we have no cap to what we can make financially. The fact that I was, you know, 20, probably 6 years old, and I had made like 300 grand by the time I was 26 year old, my third year in real estate. I mean, I never thought I'd make that kind of money in my lifetime. And I think that that's very attractive to a younger audience right now, because climbing the corporate ladder can take years and years and years. And, you know, in most cases, there is a cap to what you can make. And that's what makes real estate so sexy. But it also makes it incredibly competitive.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me. Until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Mm-hmm. You could have easily written a book about how to be successful in real estate. Instead, you chose to focus on confidence and how to sort of show up in your work and be successful, still being you, but also knowing kind of like the rules to play by. And what was the inspiration for this book, as opposed to maybe the one that was a lower hanging fruit, which was how to, you know, make it, strike it rich in real estate?
Right. For me, I had a platform when I had the opportunity and the ability to work on a show like Million Dollar Listing and be on a network like Bravo. And Bravo is incredibly inclusive and as a network. So being the first woman on a show that had been airing for 9 years prior to my existence, I recognized the power in that. And, you know, I'd been fighting my way up that ladder for a very long time, competing against incredibly big personalities, not just men, but women as well. But I really wanted to speak to women who sort of would potentially have had the same struggles that I had, you know, going through a divorce, becoming single at, you know, 41 years old, and, you know, kind of restructuring my entire life. But I also wanted to speak to young women that were entering the business world and, you know, from an entirely different generation, where social media has sort of guided everybody into this false sense of who they are and you know, confidence being a major player in that. What we see online and what we see in the media is not necessarily what's, you know, behind that velvet curtain. And I wanted to expose to some of these young women coming out there, you know, what it actually takes. And, you know, everybody has that fear. We all struggle with it. I struggle with it at 44 every single day. But if I can give some basic tips to young women or women or even men entering my business or any corporate world for that matter, and teach someone how to embrace their fears and how to deal with it so that they can move up the ladder faster than I did, I'd like to share that knowledge.
Hmm. You have said that, and you say this in your book, I'll try every possible way to get a deal done before I give up on it. So you have to share a story here. Like, what is something that you did that even surprised yourself that allowed you to seal the deal? Something crazy or like a story that you're going to tell your grandkids?
I mean, there's a hundred of them, but my friend Corey Weiss, who used to run West Coast New Development for Douglas Elliman, I've known him for 20 years. We've been in the business together forever. And he always says that I am like the chick that like dives off the boat when the fish gets unhooked and tries to swim away. And he's right, because I'll be in a negotiation where I'll have a partner on it, or the other agent will sit on the other side and, you know, they'll say, you know, we're at the end here. We're at the end of the road. You got to let it go. And I never, ever let it go. And this year we had a listing that I was partnering with Josh Altman with on the show in the Palisades. And they invited me onto the listing because they were having a little bit of a tough time selling it. And I happened to kind of specialize in that area a little bit more. So we sort of, you know, adjusted the staging a little bit, reduced the price, put it on the market. And, you know, within 3 weeks, I think I had a couple of offers. One of them was low and we ended up going with another one and they backed out of escrow. So now I had an antsy seller and I needed to get it back in escrow quickly. Well, the other buyer that had written the offer, I called back and I said, and you know, Altmans were like, dude, the deal's done. And I said, well, hold on. And I got permission from my seller to call back the other buyer that had written the offer. And I said, what if we structured this a little bit differently? You don't want to pay the price that my client wants, but you're a developer. So you're going to flip this on the back end. What if we structured a deal where you don't think this house is selling for more than $12 million, so you don't want to pay me more than $7 million? I say, if you do this right and you do the things that I'm telling you to do to this house, that you're going to get a minimum of 12. So what if we say that anything over 11 million on the back end, if you get to 11.5, maybe you throw my client an extra $100,000. If you get to 12, then you throw my client 250, so that my client had the ability to make some money on the back end. Now, that was a really creative way to put a deal together. And, you know, we were actually able to do it. It didn't come to fruition in the end, but that's just one of the things that, you know, one of the places that I will go. And, you know, my partner was like, you're insane. You should have just walked away. And the truth is I don't like walking away. I like winning.
What's a time when you really failed and maybe it was in the early years, a lesson that was learned the hard way and that you never made that mistake again?
Oh my God. You know, to be honest with you, there isn't one massive mistake that sticks out. And I get this question all the time. I think my success has come from a plethora of failures along the way. All of them are important in different ways, but you know, I think, you know, I'll just talk about something that happened recently. Being reactive in a situation when you're in a high stakes real estate game is important. And people will often say, don't be reactive. And I just say, bullshit, you should be reactive, but it just needs to be trained. Like, you need to know how to be reactive in a situation and trust your gut and trust your instinct. Well, I was sitting in a negotiation across, you know, two very, very powerful ego-driven men, and I was sitting between them. And I wasn't as reactive as I wanted to be. And I didn't handle a situation well. And, you know, when you're sitting between two gigantic egos and they're going back and forth and they were losing sight of what the goal was, which was to negotiate the potential purchase of a few hundred million in real estate. And I couldn't get control of the situation. And as I was reeling about how I was going to get control of the situation, and, you know, again, these two dominating male figures sitting on either side of me, I think one of them sensed that I was losing my control on it, and he loved it. And when I leaned in and I said, hey guys, why don't we get back to what we're here to talk about, which is, you know, real estate and this portfolio. I think that's what we need to be focused on, because we're doing a lot of back and forth about some nonsense. And he called me out and basically told me that I had, you know, what my attitude problem was, and was I on my period? So in that moment, I really had lost control of the situation, so much so that he was able to speak to me that way. And I flipped out, and I got up from the table, and I ended up going to the bathroom and had to gather myself and then come back to the table. I was able to kind of put that deal back together and take control of the situation by saying, you ever talk to me again like that and this meeting is over. But it certainly was a lesson that when I left that day, I got in the car and I was in tears because I knew that I let him get under my skin. And there's going to be so many times, particularly when you're a strong female in business and you're negotiating contracts and high-end deals that to the tune of, millions of dollars in commission, where you're going to have to deal with stuff like that and be able to respond in a way that, allows you to hold your ground. And I lost my footing there. And even though I was able to regain it, it just reminded me that even at 44 and even with the level of confidence that I have, and I wrote a book about it, I lost that battle. And that is just a constant reminder to me that I have to continue to be on my toes and keep working at it.
Well, sounds like he also lost his footing in that meeting,
yeah,
whoever
did.
That person was.
You know what he did?
Does he understand?
He did. And I think, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the whole idea of being reactive, that knee-jerk reaction that we all want to come back and say, I could have said so many things to him. Would they have been right? No, they wouldn't have. And, but I didn't like that he saw me get flustered. And, ultimately when I gathered myself, came back to the table and sat there, and when I felt confident enough to reenter the conversation and I said what I said to him, he was like, I was kidding with you, and I could sense that I knocked him off his pedestal and he felt uncomfortable. And I think it was important that I sort of regained that, my footing, and I did, but it wasn't in the way that I had anticipated. And we just always have to be prepared for those moments. You never know when someone's going to come at you.
Yeah. There's a lot of discussion right now, Tracy, about the value that we put on things, whether that's our homes, college education, even our salaries, that right now everything's so shaken up. The economy is not going to go back to what it was. We had this 11-year bull market and everyone benefited, including real estate agents and buyers, well, sellers really. And so I'm wondering, within your industry, is there any prediction about where prices could go? I'm not talking in the next 6 months, but long term, you're talking about, even before this, prices were at a 20% discount. We're talking at the luxury level. Do you think that that's going to be a little a continuation for years to come? Because maybe we've just been overvaluing things. It's been a very frothy market in many ways.
Yes, I think that that's really an important point that you're making. I do think we've been overvaluing things. I think, the market gets very bullish, but you've got a lot of developers out there, particularly in my market, in Los Angeles and Malibu and these areas that are producing $150, $200 million sales. We've got people that have a lot of money. And when you have that kind of money, you don't have the need to sell. So they put, the Asria property north of a couple hundred million dollars. It's not worth anywhere near that. But, that has become a trend in the high end. And it's unfortunate because it really sets the tone for the rest of the market. And the problem with that is when we're sitting down with our clients and we're talking about value, oftentimes sellers become incredibly confused. Well, so-and-so listed their property, for $70 million, which means I should be at least at 45. And it's like, that has zero relevance to what the property is actually going to sell for. And then on the flip side, when that $70 million property actually trades for 49, then there's a panic in the market because they had to take such a drastic reduction. I think What we've been seeing a little bit of, particularly in Los Angeles and, you know, coming off the heels of New York having, you know, some serious declines in market value in the last year and a half, we haven't had that. And, you know, LA generally will follow New York. But I think what we have seen is more of an evening out and kind of coming back down to what the real values actually are. We still, of course, are seeing developers put bigger numbers on it, but they're just one fraction of the entire market. And so, you know, luckily, we've been able to hold our ground. And I think the market is really strong in Los Angeles right now.
So what's the future of reality TV? If we're not able to leave our homes and show houses, and I mean, I don't know if you can share, but just curious where the conversations are right now, as far as the, I know that there's still another season that we're going to be seeing that you've already filmed and edited. But as for the future of the series, what's going on?
Well, right now, usually once our show starts airing, you know, within the first 3 weeks, we either, you know, get the go ahead that we are, you know, wanted for another season, or we don't. And luckily, you know, we're going into the 12th year of this show being on the air, and it's one of the longest running shows on Bravo. So I don't think we're going anywhere. I think people love watching television about real estate. I think that, you know, Los Angeles and New York are two really incredible markets that, you know, people want to know about. And, you know, when you have the ability to share that in a way that's, I think, interesting and entertaining, I don't see our show going anywhere.
Well, I certainly hope not. I'm a big fan. Congratulations with everything that you've got going on. You've also put out an incredible book that's coming out actually later this summer. So we're happy that we got you a little bit before the big press push. Fear is Just a Four-Letter Word: How to Develop the Unstoppable Confidence to Own Any Room, even if your room right now is just the rooms in your house. Because we got got a lot of the personalities get bigger and bigger the longer you're in quarantine with your family. So this book is relevant in all times.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, interestingly enough, you know, obviously we're challenged because, you know, launching my first book during a pandemic is a little terrifying. It's terrifying nonetheless. But, you know, we're having to shift and figure out new and different and creative ways to market a book, where normally I'd be out doing a book tour and speaking at different conferences and having the ability to pre-sell this book. So, I like the challenge of what that's bringing for us. And, you know, we're discussing every day new ways to sort of put that out there. But it also, on the flip side, I think fear right now is something that everybody, you know, globally have been experiencing for the last, you know, several months. And so, you know, to launch a book about that, and particularly about, you know, business, is, I think it's a great time to be sitting down and reading a book about fear.
Tracy Tudor, thank you so much. Take care of yourself and best wishes.
Oh, thank you. Well, just a little FYI, you can pre-order the book right now on Amazon.com. It'll be out July 14th. It can also be ordered on Penguin Random House. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks so much to Tracy for joining us. The book, Fear is Just a Four-Letter Word, comes out in July, but we have the pre-order link on the website. Go to SoMoneyPodcast.com to pre-order Tracy's book. All this information is on the website, the transcript, the audio, and if you'd like to leave me a question for our Friday episodes, click on Ask Farnoosh and I will reply. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiPhone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.